and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
Hello, and welcome to episode 214. We might call it the Sit By Me episode, or we could call it the episode in which you will notice a variety of noises, lack of noise, presence of noise, because in my first quilt diary, I record just sitting in the front room, looking out the window at the squirrels and the trees. The second one, I recorded upstairs in my new recording studio, which is a really fancy way of saying the corner of Jack's bedroom that we have converted to a place for me to record. And it seems to work. The noise seems to be pretty absent. We have noise-absorbing foam panels and quilts hung all over the place, and the man's outdone himself. So I record up there because I've been working on recording my new podcast, which I don't know what I'm calling it. Maybe Quilt Fiction Presents, but recording Friendship Album 1933. A serialized novel, which I hope you will be able to begin listening to next week. That is our plan. Today, by the way, is Friday. It is September 8th, a beautiful fall day, though we are anticipating some bad weather headed our way. Fingers crossed that it won't get here. Fingers crossed that it won't get to you. Fingers crossed that there are not fires burning outside your door. This is always a precarious part of the year. Isn't that so? But a good part, because soon the leaves, if you are in a place where the leaves turn color, they're going to start soon. And we're going to need sweaters. And we're going to need to grab the quilt and snuggle up. That's about to happen. Anyway, got a bunch of talk. Different levels of talk. Good talk. Indifferent talk. Stuttery talk. My usual kind of talk. It's all ahead of you right now. So let's get to it. On a camping trip this summer in mid-July with about 30 other Davidson freshmen, and they all bonded. So he's, you know, he was like, well, I went with this friend, this, you know, Odyssey friend. That's what it's called. You know, yeah, me and one of my friends from Odyssey, we had dinner. And it sounds like he and his roommate are hanging out. He's like, yeah, me and John and a couple of people went to some parties. And the best news for this mother was that apparently on Saturday night, they went and checked out some of the frat parties. And were, this is really typical Jack, we're not that impressed. So yay, because that's where the really serious partying goes on. And, you know, you never know, like, how much denial you're in about your children, but Jack does not strike me as a serious partier. You know, he's a rule abiding person. So, you know, he would actually think about the fact that he was breaking the law by drinking underage. And two, I feel like, you know, in high school, he had such a great group of friends, and they really had fun. Like, they had fun gaming, and whether it was video games or Risk or D&D, and they had fun being in the plays and being on the swim team. Just so I'm not sure to him that getting really drunk on a Saturday night at a frat house is like his idea of a good time. I could be fooling myself, but I think he understands what a good time is. You know, and, you know, going to a frat party and drinking some beer and dancing, it can be a lot of fun, but not if you're a freshman male, quite frankly. So anyway, it sounds like he's having a good time. Definitely back to school for Will, but at our fine school, he's had 1 week. That was a pretty solid week, but they really, in some ways, don't get started until Labor Day. Tomorrow, the freshman class goes to the 4-H Center somewhere out east where they're about to experience a lot of flooding from a tropical storm, so that'll be fun. But, so he'll come back on Friday, There'll be Labor Day on Monday, and then I think Tuesday school really starts. And in fact, the last couple days, it hasn't really. So today's Monday, and they did a lot of freshman orientation stuff. And on Friday, they did orientation stuff. So it's been a little funky. I like things to settle into a routine for myself, for my children, for everyone. I'm just a routine kind of girl. So, like, as it should be, when school starts the day after Labor Day, which is when it should start, then we'll get into our routine. Anyway, sitting here on the couch with Travis, I just posted on the Postmodern Quilter group on Facebook. Actually, I posted a couple hours ago, but someone had put a post that was interesting to me because it was about quilting and do we make too many quilts? And in particular, when it comes to catastrophes and disasters such as Hurricane Harvey that's hitting Houston. It's actually the storm itself has moved back out to sea here on Monday night. But there's huge flooding. So many people displaced. Horrible pictures if you're following the news. The hardest ones to see are these people in a nursing home. There's a picture of people in a nursing home, and they're in their chairs, and their chairs are floating in what looks to be like 4 or 5 feet of water, and it's just like, oh my goodness. And those of us who quote unquote lived through Katrina, some of us really did live through Katrina, others of us were just traumatized by it at a distance. It's hard to see. It's so devastating. And of course people want to help. And you know, Abby Glassenberg actually put out a post earlier today basically saying, you know what people want? They don't want quilts. They don't want toys. They want money. What's really helpful right now is money. But of course, a lot of quilters, when we hear of catastrophes and disasters, we think, oh, we'll make quilts. Because for us, quilts are love. Quilts mean comfort. And I think for a lot of people, that is true. But, you know, as particularly this early on in a disaster, a lot of stuff comes in and has to be distributed. And it's like, quilts are nice, but it's one more thing that people, that volunteers have to deal with. So give money. So on the Postmodern Quilt group, this is a Facebook group. It's a private group, but you know, you just say you want to join and they let you in. I think they check to make sure you're a real person on Facebook. But I think that's the only qualification for getting in. You know, the poster asked, you know, are we making too many quilts? And her question was couched in, when it comes to disasters, catastrophes, horrible events, like, you know, the Modern Quilt Guild did a big charity quilt drive for Miami after the shooting in last summer. And, you know, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Is it just too much? And so a lot of people responded in terms of quilting for charity. And there were people who said, you know, our group makes charity quilts, but we can't even find takers for them. You know, we've contacted this group and that group and this group and that group. Now, other people posted and said, well, you know, we have a lot of groups in our area that are very happy to take quilts. So I don't know. I think it must be just wherever you are locally. You can figure out whether or not there are channels for distributing charity quilts. It seems like Project Linus is always looking for quilts, and Quilts of Valor are looking for quilts. And one of the things, I talked about this a couple years ago, when I wanted to start a thing through my church, making quilts for kids in foster care, particularly kids who were being taken from their homes and put into the foster care system. I like the idea of them getting a quilt as a comfort item. And it was one of those things, you know, churches are wonderful places, but they also can be bureaucracies. And it was one of those things that I emailed my pastor about it, and she was very enthusiastic. And she said, well, we've got one group that's already doing some crafting for charity, so let's see what they're up to. And, you know, maybe the youth minister would be interested. And, you know, kind of the youth minister was interested, but she wasn't ready, quite ready to put it on her plate. And then I think I talked to her about a year ago. I actually went into her office and we chatted, and I liked her very much. She's not our youth minister anymore, but I mean, because she decided to step down. I don't know why. And what she really wanted to do was make this a program where the youth were making quilts, and then we could auction the quilts to raise money for the youth missions, which isn't quite what I had in mind. And then it kind of, but it was one of those things, like, okay, let's do this. And then it didn't happen. And then by the time the youth minister was like, well, let's try to make this happen now. And I was like, you know, this isn't a good time for me to make this happen. So, you know, nothing has ever come of that. And I don't quite know what to do because I love the idea of making charity quilts. The fact is that I am a member of the local Modern Quilt Guild, and there is charity quilting done through that. And so I may just go ahead and, when the spirit moves me to make charity quilts, donate them through my local chapter of the Modern Quilt Guild. And I'm assuming that whoever's in charge of that program knows people who are actually desirous of donated quilts. But the question to me, what I responded to on this postmodern quilters group on Facebook was not the idea of are we making too many quilts for charity, which is it's a good question, but you know, this idea, but the way the question was posed was, are we making too many quilts? And that's an idea that interests me, and I think it's a question that I don't think there's any way of answering, because there are people who make a lot of quilts because quilting is their therapy, right? Quilting is how they deal with the world. And those of us who quilt, which, and I assume all of you listening are in this group, I know I'm in this group, we love making quilts. There's something deeply satisfying about the process. And in a weird way, I find, for the most part, I'm not actually that concerned about the product. Now, I have to say that's changed a little bit as I think about making quilts for shows. This is a very different place for me to be. But like working on sit-in, aka the chair quilt, I'm like, I really want to submit it to QuiltCon. I think it, you know, I like it as modern applique. I'm excited about modern applique. And so I think, okay, this is, I really want to make this a good quilt because I want it to be a show quilt. And that's a little weird for me. And I'm still kind of processing that and thinking, you know, it's like, is that cool? I'm like, why wouldn't it be cool? It's a big quilt. It will fit on the bed, right? Whether or not it gets into a show, it's a very much a usable quilt. But day by day, what's important is the process. And I've talked about in the last couple episodes the thought that, you know, I'm not making fast progress on this quilt. And some of it has just been the last, you know, August has been a busy month. We went to Kentucky to see my family. We got Jack ready for college and dropped him off. We got Will ready for high school. I've been a little under the weather, which I actually think is just my allergies, which I feel like this happens all the time. I feel like I had a bit of a stomach bug, and then that was overlaid by allergies. And then, of course, I thought I was dying in a vague way because I didn't actually feel so sick to indicate death was imminent. And yet, you know, that's my first thought. Yeah, I'm 53. My first thought is, oh, okay, now I'm really sick. And it's like, then my second thought was, why don't you start taking your allergy meds? Because maybe it's just your allergies. And I'm pretty sure that's true, because today is day 3 of taking allergy meds. And you know what's great is I still feel a little tired, but I don't feel fatigued. And that's what I was really feeling last week, was just fatigued. Have you ever experienced fatigue? I have experienced it mostly in relation to allergies. I did have mono in grad school. That made me very tired. But it's kind of depressing. And I think about my friends who have gone through chemo, and including my mom, although I don't know that my mom was deeply fatigued from her chemo. But my friend David, who sadly, you know, died Has it been 2 years? Oh my goodness, I think we just passed the 2 year anniversary. But in any event, you know, he went through a bone marrow transplant and host versus graft disease, and he was really tired. So I'm not comparing my allergy fatigue to that. But any kind of fatigue where there's something you want to do stuff but you just can't find the energy is depressing, to be honest. So today I have felt more energy than I felt in the last couple of weeks, and that's been really great. But anyway, because of various things, I have not made forward progress, and now I'm hand quilting, but in some ways I'm really embroidering the ghost chairs, and it just takes time. And you know what? And that's fine. As I've talked about in the last couple episodes, I feel like I've had this kind of reckoning going, yeah, that's fine. What if it takes you 2 or 3 weeks to get all those chairs done? Big deal. But there is a part, particularly if you are engaged in social media, particularly if you're engaged in Instagram, where it's about showing off the stuff you've made. Now, a lot of people show it off piece by piece, right? And people do. Right now, there's 100 days of hexies. There's, you know, frequently on Instagram, and again, on Instagram, I follow almost exclusively on my off-kilter quilt, I follow almost exclusively quilters. And so you have, you know, so there's 100 blocks kind of quilt-alongs that people do. So people do have new stuff every day because they're participating in these daily exercises. You know, there are people who, what they're really trying to do is establish themselves as pattern designers, as teachers, as sort of, you know, quilterati. Is that really a word? Quilterati. Maybe. If it's not, I'm making it up. Quilterati. You know, and that actually is dependent on you being present on particularly Instagram, I think. And so you have to keep producing stuff. And so there's this weird kind of, it's not a pressure. No one's pressuring you to do it, but other people are being very productive. I am taking my cues from Shawn Kimber as much as anyone. She's a quilter I admire very much. I loved her, you know, I'm trying to think. She had at least two quilts I can think of in QuiltCon this year, but the one, oh, what was it called? Autumn something. It was beautiful. It was a poem. You know, it was essentially a poem in a quilt, and it was gorgeous. And but she does a lot. She does a lot of tiny, tiny, tiny piecing. And her quilts can take her 2 years to make. And she has become my role model. It's like, you know, I don't really want to spend 2 years on a quilt because I have so many quilts I want to make. But it's okay to be slow. It's okay to be unproductive. It's also, I think, okay to be productive. Because if you are quilting to save your life, then by all means, make a lot of quilts. If you're quilting because that is your happy place, by all means, make a lot of quilts. I think there are a lot of people who need your quilts. At some point, your family may say, enough quilts. But I do think there are foster care kids who need quilts, and orphans who need quilts, and soldiers who need quilts, and quite frankly, homeless people who need quilts. Although there was something on this postmodern quilt forum on Facebook where someone said, was talking about there's a little bit of a, you never think, you know, when you're trying to be charitable, you're trying to do good work, and you're trying to make the world better, and it can be shocking how often that backfires. But apparently it's like people, you know, somebody said that they heard from a shelter that, you know, people have been donating quilts, and then the quilts were just one more thing for people to steal from each other. And you're like, oh, no good deed goes unpunished, does it? So, I don't know. But anyway, I'm rambling a little bit, but this is on my mind. This is all probably just a way of justifying taking so long to finish this quilt, but it's not really so long. It's fine. We're fine. We're good. So, yeah, you know what's amazing right now is it feels like fall. and it's not even September yet here in North Carolina. I don't know what we've done. I assume that by mid-September it'll be like 105 for 2 weeks in a row. And, you know, we'll all be crying. Like, oh, remember back at the end of August? Today was the first day of school in the public schools. And it's actually quite nice that Travis and I went out on our walk. I've been walking him almost immediately after I drop off Will and come home. I take Travis for a walk before I have breakfast, because I got in that habit this summer when it was very hot. You know, I wanted to get him out while it was still nice and kind of cool outside. And now I like it because it means when I come back, I have breakfast and then I go straight to work. Whereas for a long time, I walked I dropped the boys off at school, came home, ate breakfast, took Trav out, and then came back and got to work. And that was, I don't know, it feels smoother this way. But in any event, it was very nice. It was very sweet to see the various kids waiting for the buses this morning as they went back to school. And they looked lovely and excited. And one of my neighbors was walking down the street and said, well, now what grade are you going into? And she said, third grade. And third grade is a magic grade. That is such a good reading grade. You just make a leap as a reader, and also in terms of the books that your teacher reads to you in third grade. My teacher read us great books. Her name was Mrs. Pell. This was at Douglas MacArthur Elementary School in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. And she read us the book The K by Theodore White. That may be wrong, but I think it's correct. But anyway, the book was The K, C-A-Y. One of the best books ever. I have a copy that I reread on occasion, and it makes me cry. And what was really neat is I talked to some kids this summer, and now I'm trying to remember who I talked to, but who read it recently and loved it and also cried. Anyway, third grade is a magic, magic grade. It's just a grade where you make a lot of leaps as a thinker, as a reader, as a writer. So I was excited for my neighbor. All right, I will be back to tell you more things that I'm pondering and working on. And of course, I want to give you the Travis update. And right now, Travis is doing just fine. Quilt Diary Day 2. Feeling frustrated because I actually recorded Quilt Diary Day 2 last Friday, on the day the podcast was supposed to go out. I recorded it in my new recording studio up in the corner of Jack's room. And it sounded great. But I needed to edit because I'm a little bit of an ummer. So I try to edit out ums when I'm not being just totally lazy. And in the editing process, I lost a section, it's about to say of text, but I lost a section of audio. And I've been looking around for it and doing this and that. And finally, I just gave up. Now it's Wednesday, September 13th. It's been busy. I've been busy. I had a busy weekend. In a good way, saw people I liked seeing, did things I liked doing. But I am writing a lot. I'm trying to finish up a draft of a middle grade novel, do some revisions on the story collection that's coming out, which is Margaret Goes Modern. It should be out at the end of October. I will keep you updated. If you would like, you can go over to quiltfiction.com and vote on a cover. We have some cover designs. And there's a variety of colors and fonts and things to think about. So if you've given me feedback already, thank you. I appreciate your input. So what to tell you? I'm going to go quick because I'm at the end of my rope where it comes to this, to episode 2014. I've had enough of episode 2014. I'm ready to go on with my life. I am still working on sit-in. Had a great idea, prompted by my friend Patty, for the borders, the upper border and bottom border, to write words. This was Patty's idea. I was telling her I wasn't quite sure what to do with that space, that something needed to be done. And she said, well, have you thought about just writing something? I thought, no, I have not. And so I have finished the upper border, and what I have written using 2-inch stencils are the words "sit by me." And I think there are 4 or 5 repetitions of that phrase. And I like how it looks. I will take a picture and put it in the show notes. So now I have to finish quilting the rest of the ghost quilts, which I've been doing by hand. But I may go back and do by machine. The main reason I was doing it by hand is a little bit more control. I've been spending a lot of time throwing this very large quilt around. So it's 65 inches wide and 70 feet long, or it feels like it's 70 feet long, but it's, I don't know, it's got to be at the very least 6 feet long, and I think it's longer. I know a better woman than I would actually have measured it by this point, but it's a big quilt, and I am doing a lot of quilt wrestling as I maneuver it under and around my machine. And so the idea of doing these pretty small little quilts, quilting maneuvers, it kind of gave me a headache, the thought of them. So I thought, why not hand quilt? And I like how the hand quilting looks. I'm not against it, but I had two ideas. One, it would just be faster to machine quilt it, even though that means 10 trillion more threads to bury. And two, you know, I really should have thought about doing a zigzag stitch. These are stitches to outline the back of the chair, the inner spaces of the chair, the interstices of the chair, and on the actual applique chairs, I used a zigzag stitch in that space. So I'm thinking about that. It would mean going and ripping out, I don't know how many chairs I've done. Let's say I've done 6 or 7, but I'm not one to shy away from unquilting, even unquilting hand stitching, which, by the way, I find more difficult to unquilt. I don't know why that is. I'm sure there's some profound mathematical, spiritual reason for that, but food for thought. So that's what I'm pondering, and that is what I will actually, because I'm working from the top down, it's time to figure that out, what's going to happen next. So that's where I am. I have ordered binding fabric. I'm going to go with a dark orange, solid dark orange binding. I thought about just binding it in white, and I don't mind that idea, but I don't know. I feel like a little color would be a unifying color. I feel like perhaps this is a quilt that should be framed. Obviously, it's an easy problem to correct if I put on dark orange binding, which I think is a good color for the binding, and go, no, do white. I mean, I can play around a little bit before I even get the fabric, right? I can play around with holding up white, make some white binding, or just take some white fabric and make it into pretend binding by folding it and see what I think about that. It's hard. That is a hard thing about working on a big quilt, though. It's harder to make decisions using just small portions of the quilt to decide, because that binding is going to have to go around a pretty big space. That reminds me, of course, that I will have to eventually, sooner rather than later, measure this quilt so I know how much binding to make. I just ordered a yard of fabric because I figure I can use it for other things. I don't think it will take a yard. Anywho, that's where I am with sit-in. I'm working on some ideas for some other quilts. I am having a great time working on sit-in. I'm such a process person that when I'm actually working, I'm really happy to be working, and I don't really care what I'm working on. When I'm away from the quilt, of course, I start getting into my own neuroses flaws, or my notion of this has to of productivity and how we must be productive and all of that, and think about all these other quilts I want to make and blah blah blah. But when I'm actually quilting, I'm just happy to be quilting, quite frankly. So other than that, I want to direct you to Sandy over at Crafty Planner, the wonderful podcast where Sandy, who is a city planner and a sewist, interviews people who are part of the quilting sewing scene. And she is doing a mini series on quilt history and quilt documentation and preservation. As you know, those things are close to my heart. And most recently, this week, just Monday, She posted an episode with Amy Milne, who's the executive director of the Quilt Alliance. And as you may know, I volunteer with the Quilt Alliance. I love working with Amy and Emma. They're fabulous people. And if you've ever been curious about the Quilt Alliance, or if you've ever been curious about why I document my quilt, this would be a really good episode to listen to. But all three of the episodes that Sandy has aired on the subject have been great. The first one was with Laura McDowell Hopper. I think I'm getting that name right. She's a really wonderful quilter. She is a curator, a textile curator at the Pick Museum, which is the University of Illinois, but I can't remember which branch. I think pretty close to Chicago. So she's doing some wonderful things. So she's very interesting to listen to. And then the next episode is with Nancy Bavor. I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's B-A-V-O-R. And she is the director of, I want to say it's the San Jose Museum for Textiles or Quilts. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact information in front of me. But really, really interesting as well, and had some interesting things to say about California art quilters. You know, there was such a strong arts quilt movement in the 80s and 90s. So listen to all of these. But if you only have time or the inclination to listen to one, then listen to my friend Amy talk, because she's just wonderful. So I definitely wanted to lead you there. And where do I want to lead you next? I am not sure. I am not sure. Everything is fine here. I am writing. I am reading a wonderful book on poetry called Why Poetry by Matthew Zapruder, who is a marvelous, marvelous poet. If you're looking for some good poetry to pick up, I'd recommend his. We are happy that Irma, Hurricane Irma, did not hit us. My late mother-in-law, his name was Irma Melveen. She did not like the name Irma. And there are many reasons why I'm sad she is not here to talk to today. But one of those reasons is that I would have loved to have gotten her opinion on having a hurricane named after herself. So I think I'm going to go ahead and end this here, although I'm sure there's so many more things that I could ramble on about. But I want to post this. And if you go to the show notes, you can see a picture of a sit-in, aka the chair quilt, or the chair quilt, aka sit-in, that draped over the couch. So you just get an idea of how big it is. And I don't know how much you can see the quilting from the vantage point of this photograph, but take a look. I have a picture of my new recording studio, very professional. I have, by the way, recorded now 3 chapters of Friendship Album 1933. This is going to be the story podcast that I hope we're going to get up and running really soon. The man was hoping by the end of this week, but I'm not seeing that. I mean, we won't post the whole thing. So this is a book. This will be an audiobook in its entirety by the time we're done. But I don't know how long each episode will be. But it may take a while, especially because I haven't finished writing the book. Gosh, the things I set myself up for. I figured this will force me. It would be embarrassing at this point not to finish the book. And as I'm reading the chapters, and I'm so glad to tell you, I have no characters with English accents because I can't really do an English accent unless I've had a couple of pints, and then I'm at least willing to try. I can't remember where I started that sentence. Anyway, I'm having a great time reading the story. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying these characters who I created several years ago. So it's fun to sort of revisit them and see where the story is going, because I kind of know the general outline of the story, of its progression. But I'm like, oh, you know, it's been long enough since I actually have written this draft or this 120 pages of a draft, that I don't remember all the details. So it's fun kind of coming across this story that I wrote and have forgotten little bits and pieces of. I'm looking forward to getting the whole thing up, and I will certainly let you know as soon as I start posting going to tune in. I hope this is a project that works. I like this idea a lot. Remember, you can go over to quiltfiction.com and sign up for my newsletter, which I was trying to do every other week, and just that was a fail. And I didn't do it at all this summer because I was just too busy recovering from the spring, quite frankly. And so now I think I'm going to do it on a monthly basis. So just once a month in your email inbox, so go and sign up and leave a comment. I appreciate everyone who does. I appreciate it when you comment in your head, but it's very fun to see when you actually leave a comment in the comment box. So come on over to offkilterquilt.com and say hello, and I will see you in a couple weeks. Bye now.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.